All right, well, we just took a little break there, and I grabbed another zombie-themed beer for our stretch run, and this one has a Reanimator theme. I believe it's also from the good folks at the Zombie Brewery. Yeah, it's a similar can. And this is called the Rezombinator. And it is flavor profile. It's just an IPA, it looks like. There's a weird sticker on the side from the liquor store that kind of makes it hard to read. But I'm going to crack that. And Trevor, I see you have the nuclear power plant open.
Yes, it is 13.1. Yeah, I've had a sip and I'm already stuttering. 13.1% ABV. Quadruple IPA. El Segundo. Like if you're an IPA person, El Segundo's a go-to.
Yes, I miss it. I used to go to that brewery like in person quite a bit when I lived in that area.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. They have a good little tasting room there. So Luke, do you have a quadruple latte at this point?
I felt my sternum was vibrating the past few minutes, so I decided I need to drink a little less coffee. I'm going to back off. So I've poured myself a rakia, which is I brought back from Bulgaria. I'll hold the bottle up because it's got backwards R's on it. But I think my camera is reversed, so it'll make them look like regular R's. That's not as interesting. But yeah, it's some kind of plum fermented. It's moonshine, basically. It's moonshine. And if you go to Bulgaria and Romania, it's hard to find a good one to buy because I went to a liquor store. I'm like, well, I want to bring something back that I can only get here. And so I looked at the ones on the shelf and I'm like, well, I'll pick a good one and I'll go try it in the bars and then I'll know which one to buy. But whenever I ordered it in a bar, they would just get an unmarked bottle from under the bar to pour me because it's just moonshine. Like a guy wow. that they know makes it for them. You can't. That's how they do it all over the both those countries. In Romania, it's more a drink called Tuica. In Bulgaria and Macedonia, it's rakia or rakia, depending which part you're in. They pronounce it differently, it seems to me. Anyway, sounds that's like what I have.
It'll put hair on your chest. Is it that kind of a thing? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to. The rule I was told was you need to drink two. You should never drink three.
I love it.
How flammable is it?
It smells flammable. Very
flammable. Okay. When the zombies come and you need a Molotov cocktail, you know what bottle to put that rag in.
If you had this in a cigarette, you'd be safe.
I love it. Vic, are you on to a Brother Thelonious or a Flying Monkey or whatever all that Belgian shit is you drink?
Jesus Christ, John, that's so offensive to the people of Belgium. None of whom brew either of those beers. But no, I did not go with the Brother Thelonious. I'm trying to be responsible. So I'm going with just a new Belgium triple, an old favorite on the pod. And Luke, I was going to joke that after all the coffee, you were probably going to move on to cocaine. But I feel like you've actually beaten that. So you undercut my joke with obscure Romanian moonshine.
Bulgarian moonshine.
The Romanian will come out later, though. It's Bulgarian in the first wave.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've completed our first wave of bracket analysis, and we've talked about zombies in general. Before we close that topic, Vic, looks like you might have a little more to say.
I didn't get to voice my sort of general thoughts on the zombie genre. Can I chime in with that?
Actually, no. Let's move on to the bracket now.
I deserve that, John, and I know that. Like I earned that response from you.
No, go ahead, man. Knock yourself out. I'm gonna be in the can.
You asshole! God. John and I just want to point out, John and I are going to New Orleans in a couple of weeks. And the odds of it ending up in a fist fight at some point are substantially high.
On Bourbon Street.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we will still be very good friends in the morning when we wake up in a New Orleans prison cell, but...
Just don't knock any of my front teeth out, man. They're expensive.
Just a side. All right.
Yeah. There you go.
What I wanted to say was, largely that I had a moment of revelation with the zombie genre not too long before we settled on this, on our topic, which is my wife, God bless her, loves romantic comedies. And for many years of our marriage, I just kept being like, why? Like, it's, you can write out the beats of a romantic comedy before you even watch it. There's going to be a lie in the beginning. It's going to get uncovered at the second plot point. There's going to be a race to the airport, train station, whatever, and they're all going to fall in love and everybody's going to be happy. And like, why do you want to watch the same story over and over again? And the revelation I had was, I feel that way about zombie movies. Like, specifically zombie apocalypse movies. Like, I just want to watch the story of the world falling apart and whatever group of survivors or individual survivor negotiating that problem over and over and over again. And I think I was feeling like it was, you know, I didn't want to be that way. And then when I had that revelation, I was like, oh yeah, no, I just want to watch the same fucking story over and over again. And it's great. And like, I'll figure out which ones I like and which ones I don't. And I think a lot of that has to do with what we were talking about, the malleability of zombies as a subject, where, you know, there's always thematic content that underlines it, but it's also just the surface content. Like, it's just cool to watch people raiding a shopping mall in a zombie apocalypse and taking whatever they want. It's just cool to watch people making those decisions of what would you do now? What would you do now? And it reminded me of the fact that I watched one of the movies that is on our list is Lamberto Bava's Demons. Am I correct, John? Lamberto Bava?
Right. Mm-hmm.
When I was far too young to watch Demons. And I remember my parents were sitting on the porch because I was watching it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because it was the early 90s and parents didn't give a fuck. They were like, well, this is gross. Let's go outside and have a cigarette, which is what they did. But I remember joining them on the porch after the movie was over and literally looking around my backyard and being like, okay, if the demons came over here, I would run this way and I would jump this way. If the demons came this way, I would do this. And I was plotting for the zombie apocalypse at like 10 without sort of realizing that's what I was doing. And I think that's so much of the appeal of the genre is it gives everybody inherently, for whatever reason, and I think that's going to be one of the fun things to explore on this season, but for whatever reason, it's really easy and fun for us to put ourselves in the shoes of those people and say, what would I do? What did they do? Oh, they did something dumb, or that was really smart. I wish I had thought of that. And, you know, when we're doing these things in hypotheticals, it's one thing. But when you're watching it on screen and you realize these are life or death decisions, it changes the stakes. And so finding ways to put yourselves into those positions and then just the fun, the exhilaration. I will say it never sold, much less got made. But the screenplay I wrote that got me my managers, who then got me my agent and basically kicked off my screenwriting career, was a zombie film. And it was called The Plan. And it was about a couple of stoners who watched a bunch of zombie movies and came up with a plan for what they would do when the zombie apocalypse hit. Not because they ever thought it would, because they were fucking stoned and sitting around watching zombie movies and going, well, I'd do this. You don't need a car, get a bike, and you need a gun because where are you going to get ammo? You need things that you can reuse and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, that really, really appeals to me. This might be my favorite subgenre of horror films, and I'm gonna have a lot of strong opinions, and they're all gonna come out, John, at 3 a.m. After a number of hurricanes when we're in hurricanes the drink, not the storm, when we're in New Orleans,
God willing. Yeah. No,
ton of great points there. I'll just, you know, quickly chime in and say this is such a contrast to like the slasher movies, where in the slasher movies, the bulk of the running time are people goofing around, drinking, having sex, giving each other shit. Maybe there's a guy watching them do these things. Maybe there isn't. And then like every now and then, like, you know, you have 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes more, but not a huge percentage of the running time is like actually really interesting shit happening. In zombie movies, like the resourceful action that the characters are constantly having to take moment to moment, the problem solving, the challenges, like that is the substance of the movie. Yeah, maybe the zombies don't attack every second, but there's always like something kind of intense and dramatic and relatable as far as like human problems go, and you do try to solve the problems yourself and wonder how you would approach the situation. That is just so much meatier and more interesting than a bunch of teenagers, you know, like partying at the lake.
Is there, I'm just gonna ask this, of the three of you besides myself, do you have a plan for the zombie apocalypse?
I'm so glad you actually opened the floor to that, because I was going to jump in and talk about the fact that because this genre is so well known that it's bleeding into other medium. Because like when you were talking about your plan, I immediately started thinking about The Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks, and then yes, how that was a best-selling book. And then that led into him making the World War Z book, which we can talk about that movie. I have strong opinions about it. I think it was completely done wrong. My personal take, if anyone cares, mm-hmm. It should have been a mockumentary. It should have been a mockumentary in hindsight of the events of it, because that's how the book reads. And instead, Brad Pitt, I'm just going to end the sentence there, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, they turn it into a conventional movie that I don't think is as bad as, at least I don't think Vic hates it more than I think is warranted. But it's like, I love the book too. And the Zombie Survival Guide was critical to me at that time when that book came out. It was helped me write my own zombie novel. But the Doomsday Prepper thing is like just adjacent to this. Like we have this sort of survivalist instinct, like not just as Americans, but you know, just in the world, that you kind of like feel like maybe you know, should be thinking about a shelter in the backyard. Like we just have all of these sort of reasons for that, and this just taps into that like nothing else.
As a Californian, you get to indulge this quite a bit, because you're like, well, you need a go bag, because if there's going to be an earthquake or something, you got to be ready for it.
Yes.
So you get to research all the stuff and feel like a completely normal, sensible human being doing it, but you're also ready for the zombie apocalypse. And I will try to win us an endorsement right now from the company Mountain House, which does these sort of freeze-dried meals that you just add hot water to. I have a bucket of these things here, so I'm ready for at least 10 days of zombie apocalypse. I feel I will eat pretty well.
So Luke, you have a plan for the zombie apocalypse, yes?
It's a pretty ramshackle plan, but yeah, I do. John? I've got enough stuff. Yeah.
He's John? Got 10 days of plan. He's got,
I got
10 days.
I got a 10-day plan, and then I got to get out of town.
Yeah. Not per se. I mean, I've obviously toyed with it, and I've kicked around like the two-wheeled transportation aspect. And we live in an apartment building with four other friends in two different units, and we have a vague plan with them of how we would work together in any kind of situation. The word zombie hasn't specifically come up, but like you know, to Luke's point, earthquake, whatever, like yeah, there's going to be some overlap in your preparedness. But I would say Kim and I are woefully underprepared overall. We do not have 10 days of food on hand. We have about 2 days of water, and then we're fucked.
Nevertheless, I'm just saying, you've thought about it. You have no idea what you do in a fire, John, right?
True. Very true.
But in a zombie apocalypse, you're like, I knocked down this wall to get to my neighbors, and then we'd shore up these things, and yeah.
Yeah, we would go up, actually, yeah, because they're on the upper floors, yeah. This place, this unit, like, you can't see it right now, but, like, I'm extremely exposed by a window here, so no, this would not be a good place to hold up against the zombies.
that's fascinating, right? Like, isn't that bizarre that we have all in, I mean, you know, all of our listeners, I feel fairly confident in saying, I know my brother has, because we've talked about it. Like, how many people have a plan for what to do in the event of a zombie apocalypse? Like, that is, there is something primal that this genre evokes from us. And I'm so fascinated. I'm so excited to dig into it.
I mean, we could make a documentary, actually they probably have, but about just the people who specifically are geared up for this specific thing. Like, oh, no, not just a general thing. No, the zombie apocalypse. And people love it. Absolutely. I mean, the right implements that you would want, like, to fight them, the weapons, and how you would fortify and what kind of structure. I will say, to the point of, like, being a kid, my sister and I do distinctly remember identifying buildings without windows and being, like, stone buildings. And, like, that's where we'll go in whatever situation, you know, we were in. Okay, good stuff there. Okay, are we ready to look at the bracket that Trevor just found out about? And maybe Luke, yeah. Too, I don't know.
The second half of it, at the very least.
I found out about it, but it took me a day. I'm like, I guess we're only discussing half the movies. And then yeah. I'm like, oh, you can scroll to the side, too. Now I get it. Okay.
I probably should have... made that more clear. But okay, so we've got two brackets over here in the same vein as the crazies and the funnies, but these are exactly the same labels that we had last season, and I just kind of felt that they were still applicable here, which is old school, which is obviously where you'll find your Romero zombies. But that just kind of pertains to any kind of the mythology of the zombies, like how they work, how the infection spreads. Yes, the fact that they're dead. It's pretty traditional. It's pretty, you know, the standard rules that we've come to love and appreciate about shooting them in the head and all that kind of stuff. And then we have the dark horse category, which, again, is kind of the catch-all for anything that doesn't fit into any of the other categories, but hopefully they're doing something, whether with the mythology of the zombies or the style of filmmaking or the tone or whatever, that's just weird and a little different. Like, that these are the ones where, like, they might not be strictly a traditional zombie movie, but there's something. Maybe it's a mashup or something, and it's not, like, strictly trying to be funny, so it doesn't necessarily belong over there in the funniest category. But yeah, we're just looking for wild cards. There's a long way of saying that. And that one is, we got one open spot at the moment since we moved hashtag alive in there, but there is a open spot there, and there's no open spots in old school right now. But Trevor, you mentioned, Dead Girl was something you wanted to talk about. And no, man, I'm with you. That's going to be definitely a factor in this tournament. Anything else that we haven't touched on that you want to mention?
I mean, I love Cargo. I think Cargo is a fantastic film. Yes. It says so much about protection of like your children and being a good parent, I guess is the term I'm trying to go for there. Mm-hmm. But it's what's so great about it, and it's actually very appropriate that it's under the old school approach, is that the zombie aspect of everyday life is so ingrained in that world that they have, like, the simple instructions on how to kill a zombie. Like, it's got the hermetically sealed packages that they use to, it's like, this is how you kill a zombie. This is an everyday occurrence. Be sure to check for, and it was so, I think it's a fantastic film. And I'm not even sure what the budget was, because I know they shot it in the outback with, like, next to nothing. I don't know how much of the budget was Martin Freeman's pay, but at the same time, because it was post Hobbit, so you know that wasn't cheap. It's a fantastic film, and I'm glad it's on here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I do love that's one of the cultural things that I love, like the zombie movies where we would put, like, diagrams on packaging. It's not a pictogram, but yeah, like this sort of visual demonstration of how to use this to kill yourself when you're infected, basically, like, so that it's painless. I think that's what it was, as I recall. Like, to jam this metal spike into your head in the easiest possible way, something along those lines. But yeah, it's great. Yeah, Valley of the Dead that Vic mentioned is in here. World War Z is in there. The Dead? Has anyone seen The Dead yet?
Yeah, I saw that one. That's
Okay. The Africa one.
Yeah.
Trevor, you haven't seen it?
No.
Okay. I have it as a highly recommend. Now, I haven't seen it in over a decade, but I love like the set pieces here. Like just briefly, Luke and Vic. Luke, starting with you. Did you like it?
I was a little disappointed, I'll be honest. Yeah, there was a couple of great set pieces, but they felt a little isolated to me. Like it was a couple of good set pieces connected by a story that didn't really feel very original. So I wanted it to be a different movie than it was, I guess. And so it's not fair to criticize it for not being the movie that I had in my head instead, but that's how I felt about it. It just wasn't quite working, but I felt like there was something more they could have done with the material they had.
Wouldn't say it's super ambitious, yeah, narratively. So that I can't argue with you too much. Vic, did you have a similar opinion?
Yeah, I was a little underwhelmed. I was struck a little bit by kind of a white savior narrative in it. But I think it juxtaposes really, really interestingly with Cargo, because I really liked the way that Cargo folded in the indigenous population as part of the story. And I think that was sort of what I came away from with The Dead, was that I was much more interested in the stories of the Native Africans than I was with the sort of guy that we were following. And I know, I mean, it's, you know, it's not a perfect comparison, because obviously Cargo is also about a white British guy in Australia. But I don't know, I just, the way they pulled those two stories together, but it's also, again, this comes back to the malleability of the genre. Like, what does a zombie movie look like in Africa? What does a zombie movie look like in Australia? There's fascinating stories to be told, just depending on how you change that backdrop. It's not a bad movie. It's an interesting film, but it was not my favorite.
I totally agree. The set piece that I liked best was when the white character ends up in an African village and they help him out. And I thought the story of the African village is way more interesting to me than the story of this guy crossing Africa.
And basically trying to screw everybody that he can on the way.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I can't comment too much. That criteria that I said before about like the staging of sequences that stand out in the zombie pantheon, there's something involving, like, I think there's like vehicles and there's zombies like slowly coming from like five or six different vectors on the guy, and he only knows about two of them. And like just the suspense of that, I thought was masterful.
I'm just curious, because I know this one's further down on the list. Did how many other people watched Day Zero?
I saw that.
You saw it? Okay. I was kind of blown away. Luke, I think that was your recommendation, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
And, what country is that? Now I'm blanking on it.
Philippines.
Oh, man.
Philippines. Yes. Yeah. It's Filipino. Yeah. Holy shit. It was clearly, there was like a boxing UFC star or something that was the star of it. But the action scenes in that, I just thought, were breathtaking. There was a scene, Trevor, I just want you to make a note of this, because this is one of the reasons I thought it was so awesome, where the guys, there's this kind of huge, hulking, like Dave Bautista-looking guy, and he's fighting a bunch of zombies, and one of the zombies is trying to bite him, and he shoves the barrel of the gun into the zombie's mouth, and when the zombie bites it, he uses the zombie bite to cock the gun and then pulls it out of his mouth and shoots him. It was fucking, I was like, oh my God. That stuff knocks me out when I'm watching these movies. Like, I was really blown away by that. I know I think we've got it ranked at 16 here. I wouldn't mind knocking it up a few spots.
Yeah, the movie, I actually watched this last Friday or the Friday before. And the scene in that movie that qualifies for me is actually towards the end. And I don't know why they put all their juice and their calories. Not that there isn't some other clever, cool stuff like the thing you just mentioned. But there's like one little bit, and it's not even narratively that important. But he's like coming down a hallway, and a bunch of zombies are coming from the front, and a bunch of zombies are coming from the back. And suddenly, like, everything goes to 10 as far as like the camera work and the dynamic, like, cool shit that he does. And like, if you just showed that clip of how he deals with that situation, it's like a bravo stand up, you know, like standing ovation kind of a scene. I didn't necessarily think, kind of along the lines of your criticism of The Dead, the overall story didn't blow me away. I was pretty underwhelmed by a lot of the kind of character relationships and stuff like that. But and you know, ultimately, I guess a lot of the action, it has some of the sameness that I'm starting to see across all of these movies. So I wasn't like loving it, but I think, yeah, it's probably a little too low here. I think I would be in favor of moving it up. Luke, what did you think?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really good movie. I'm not upset about it being 16. You know, it doesn't stand a chance really of winning the category. But
right.
The one thing that disappointed me about it was that he starts out in a prison, and then the goal, he's got to get to the apartment building to save his family. And what one disappointment I thought with it was that the action is confined in both cases to the prison, and then he pretty much immediately gets to the apartment building somehow all the way across town, and then the rest yes. of the movie's in the apartment building. So you've just got two sort of different battles inside of
different corridors.
Right, exactly. Corridors. Right, it's mostly corridors. If you like corridors, this is the movie for you.
Well, I mean, I think there's something specific to the genre that you can take what is going to be a very familiar sort of rote story, but a really dynamic, exciting, innovative filmmaker can tell this story. And this is what I was saying. It's like, I kind of don't mind seeing the same story over and over again, which bothered me to no end when we were doing slasher films. But with zombie films, I don't mind seeing the same story over and over again. But like, what's your spin? What's your take? Are you gonna fold in sort of mythology from indigenous cultures? Or are you going to film your action in ways that feels very innovative? And Luke, I've been thinking about this because in our initial discussions, I spoke very disparagingly of World War Z. And I've been rethinking that, man. Like especially you recommended Day Zero, dude. And I think you know your stuff. And so I have been revisiting World War Z in my head, and I'm going to watch it again with a fresh eye, because I do think that the Israel sequence in that is one of those examples of somebody who, whatever else is going on in the story, by golly, they pulled all this stuff together, the filmmaking, the conception of the zombies. Like, there are so many little tweaks you can do to this genre that elevate it. And I think that's part of what makes this so exceptional, is we're dealing with, not in all cases, because we have some very different instances of it, but in a lot of cases, when you're talking about just zombie apocalypse, what's going to set it apart is the filmmaking, the editing, the thematic elements. What else is going on in it that takes what is a very kind of familiar story and elevates it into something that's more substantial?
Yeah, I think Day Zero doesn't break any new ground, really, in terms of plotting or zombie lore. But it's so competently made on such a low budget that it has a lot of ambition, and that's pretty great. And I think that makes it a good match. It's funny that you mentioned World War Z, because to me, that's the same thing. Like, doesn't really break any new ground, but the scale of it is so beyond anything else. Like, it's an attempt to make an epic zombie movie that shows the whole world. And I wasn't burdened by having read the book before I saw the movie, so I wasn't judging it against the book at all. I just took it as a movie. And it's not great. It's not a total home run, but the scale of it is so different that it becomes something new for me.
I will say, too, just because this popped into my head, what Day Zero reminds me of a little bit is The Raid. Not quite as good as The Raid, yes. But in terms of just a movie where there are a couple of outstanding action sequences that really get you excited and get you involved in the film.
Yeah, like how much are we going to talk about the plot of The Raid? You know, that's not really the allure. Trevor, where do you weigh in on these things? Have you seen these movies that we're discussing?
I mean, not really. Just kind of looking at the list, I'm a little bit behind on a lot of these things. World War Z, of course, you already heard my opinion on it. I was burdened by having read the book and having preconceived notions about it, because there were a lot of very interesting things that were told in hindsight in the book that didn't make it. Obviously, like, we've all seen the movie. The Battle of Yonkers is like the biggest linchpin in that entire thing. And the way that it's in the book, I guess I can spoil the book since it's not a movie, is it's told in hindsight the way that when we watch documentaries about World War II, that's the way that it reads in the book, is that people are describing the horrible things that they saw, what they had to go through to do it, but it's all told in hindsight. And there's one Japanese nerd who was a shut-in in the book, and he had like a katana, just as it's a wall hanger, it's not a real thing, but because of the zombie apocalypse, he grows into this warrior, right? And that's not something that's in the movie. I really wanted to see that, like, kind of to Vic's point, it's a multicultural aspect that happened to everyone. We all wrote out 2020, right? We all wrote out COVID, and at the same time, it's like, across the world, we all have all had interactions with this situation. And I feel like the way that they approached the World War Z movie really muted that. Like, there wasn't a ton of multiculturalism to it. It was, again, I'm just going to finish the sentence with Brad Pitt.
I don't think Brad Pitt's a death knell in my mind, but yeah, it was an odd choice, and it certainly tells you what kind of movie you're getting for the most part. I loved that book. I remember, devouring it, and yeah, they went the Hollywood route, and there's nothing satisfying about seeing something that could be a lot more interesting and unique in its storytelling, and they just kind of translate it into another blockbuster kind of action movie. I get that. I'm looking at the movies that we haven't talked about that may or may not be candidates. I think this might be a good time to touch on some of them. But before I do that, does anyone want to talk about It Stains the Sand Red? Because I like that one. I just want to see if anyone has any thoughts on it right now.
Only that it is one of the examples of someone taking the idea of a zombie apocalypse and doing something original with it. And that it digs into the incredibly open realm of possibilities that these stories make available. Somebody was like, what if zombie apocalypse, but one person, one zombie desert, and that then becomes, so then it becomes about, well, what, who are the characters that you put into it? What are the, what are the surrounding things? I mean, I think it's a very good movie. It's not my favorite, certainly on this list, but the ingenuity of it, just from a conceptual standpoint, not entirely unlike Wes Craven's New Nightmare, John.
Whoa, did not see that coming.
But no, wow. Like you get points for coming up with a good fucking idea. And then if you execute it well, you're going to find yourself in the tournament,
I said that's every filmmaker's dream, end up in the tournament.
Yes, it should be.
Yeah, they were like waiting for this episode to come out, like, like getting cast in the high school play or something. When's the list? When's it coming out? Am I going to be on it? So let's move on to the unless anyone, like, I think we'll talk about that movie. I think Vic touched on it very well, but Dark Horse, like, we got another category to go here, another regional. Let's get into this while we still have some gas in the tank. Yeah, and this is a lot of interesting movies that could drop out quickly or could go on a crazy run, because this is, it's a good segue, because a lot of these are a little weird and they're taking a different approach to the subgenre. And Vic's big, I think his standard bearer in this tournament is Kingdom Ashen of the North, which kind of, I think, pretty much blew me away, which I didn't expect from a Vic nominee. I'm no, just kidding.
You're not kidding, John. Don't fuck around. You're not kidding.
And I think Luke liked it a lot. So, Trevor, have you seen this this film?
I have not. Pass.
Nick recommended it, so yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. although I would actually say, now that you've rearranged things, I would put Train to Busan 1 and Kingdom Ashen of the North 2. But
yeah, okay, no, we can do that. Absolutely, yeah. No, you're right. Certainly has the better overall sort of pedigree at this point. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Trevor, Ashen of the North, Zombie Tiger, and better than that fucking Zack Snyder piece of shit.
Yeah. You're going to have to be more specific about Zack Snyder piece of shit.
Army of the Dead, I assume. That's what he said.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, because, I mean, the 2004 Dawn of the Dead is on here. And, like, I...
Ooh.
That is the only not piece of shit Zack Snyder film.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Trevor. You got some... I'm definitely a Dawn of the Dead fan.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was wondering if I'm out of my depth here, because you guys are going to go into greater detail on this, but I have a lot of fond memories, and of course, this is in the bracket above it. I have a lot of fond memories of the 2004 Dawn of the Dead. I saw that one in theaters. It introduced me to Richard Cheese, which was a whole thing that I didn't know existed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and at the same time, it's also like I didn't have respect for the pedigree of the original one. I think I saw the 2004 one before I saw the original, and then I went back and watched the original, and I was like, this is stupid, but I was like in my 20s, right? In hindsight, I've come to recognize and respect the Dawn of the Dead, what it said at the time that it came out. And then, of course, the 2004 one has that girl getting cut by a chainsaw, and like I said, Richard Cheese and gun comparisons and kind of what we were talking about with the zombie preparedness thing, where they have they're hanging out on the roof, just like shooting people. So,
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, exactly. you could tie that into The Purge at that point, because it's like hanging out on a rooftop, drinking beer, shooting people in the head. So, but yeah, as far as if we're going back to the Dark Horse category, I am out of my depths here, because there's a lot of stuff, with the exception of Dead Girl, The Beyond, and of course, I think I've seen most of the Resident Evil movies.
But yeah, this is where we have some really weird, like, movies that do sort of threaten the definition of a zombie film. And I think Death Dream is a perfect example. And Vic and I watched this together a few months ago. We'd both already seen it, but this was a Luke nominee, and we have every reason to kind of disqualify it, because it's... Have you seen this, Trevor?
Nope.
Okay, it's like there's one, it's more along the lines of like a Dead Heat or something, where there's a person who has kind of become a zombie but can sort of still pass for a human being. And except in this case, there's a real malevolence to him. And to your point about the Vietnam stuff, this one is the bullseye on the Vietnam, like, anxiety about selling our souls in this war and stuff like that, and the damage that soldiers come back with, and the kind of the true beyond moral ambiguity of a lot of the soldiers' experience in Vietnam. I think it's Bob Clark too, who's, you know, Black Christmas and Christmas Story and Porky's, and he's a very interesting, eclectic filmmaker. So I think it belongs here. but like it's a little, it's it, he's almost more of a vampire. So we're cheating a little bit letting this guy in.
I mean, it's a challenging film, but it's, I feel like in the, because of the era, right? Like they really were, this is even more so than Romero, even more so than the other stuff we've talked about. This is zombie as metaphor. But when John and I watch it, I found it very moving. Like I really was kind of surprised and emotionally invested in the story and where it wound up and the visuals. And yeah, I mean, Bob Clark, I think really undervalued as a filmmaker. Do you know, Baby's Day Out? No. What was the one? Baby Geniuses, right. Notwithstanding.
You always throw this in his face.
You have to throw it in his face. It's a shit movie. But I'm just saying, Luke, I had actually not seen it before, and I was really glad that you recommended it. A lot of your recommendations, I just want to be sure that I thank you, because a lot of the recommendations that you made was stuff that I hadn't seen before. And yeah, I was really I was quite taken with it. Again, I'm not sure how far it's going to go, but it's an interesting film. It's certainly worth watching just for understanding the period and the ways that we use zombie mythology to express the anxieties of the time in which we're living.
And in that one, it's like a father specifically, there's a mother too, but like a father being kind of horrified by what his son has become. And the zombie is the metaphor for that, which is something that I think, you know, we can relate to potentially across any kind of problem.
But also fuck
everyone. She was a mess.
I'm just saying we focus more on the dad.
Yeah. The mom was not a constructive problem solver. Yeah. Not necessarily. The dad wasn't really either. But, no. I hadn't seen that movie in about 10 years, and then I rewatched it this afternoon.
Oh, well, just because it's so fresh, like, do you want to share any of your observations having just watched it again?
Yeah, I mean, it is like an exact bullseye and zombie as metaphor. I guess for PTSD specifically, but then just also the national guilt. Like, there's one scene where the guy is murdering someone and he says, "I died for you. Now you owe me the same at least." And you're like, okay, this is what are we sending the kids off to die for? Like, and it wasn't like a volunteer army back then. You just got picked out of your life and thrown into Vietnam. It's just so affecting. And the mother is a great character because she's so real, the way she's so brittle, just trying to hold herself together through this ordeal. And the whole thing's just so disturbing. His zombie makeup is so disturbing because there's nothing comedic about it. It is like an exact match for how he probably looks 4 days after he died and then 5 days after he died. It's disturbing as hell. I like this movie a lot. I can see why you might say it's not exactly a zombie movie, because there's just one zombie and he doesn't act, I don't know if you'd say, it's not really zombie behavior. He's not staggering around, cornering people in sheds or anything, but...
You could just say his, you know, like, the behavioral changes that make somebody not the person they were before, by that criteria, I guess it fits.
And every time someone's alone with it, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. It's a disturbing movie. It's one of the more disturbing movies in the tournament, I think. In my opinion.
I think it's perfect for this category.
I'm glad if you guys liked it. I'm thrilled if you guys liked it. It's not gonna win, but I think, what's it ranked here? Where's the ranking?
Eight's not bad.
Eight's fair, I think. I might put it below the battery. I think the battery should be much higher. But I do.
Well, okay, that's a good segue, Luke. So Trevor, you haven't seen the battery, have you?
No. I'm fascinated by this.
The battery has been a topic of much discussion on our email and text threads. John hasn't finished it still? Is that correct?
No, I finished it.
I the last I saw on the Google Doc, you turned it off after 15 minutes.
Well, that's how often you are on our Google Doc, which, by the way, is abundantly obvious.
Oh, that hurts, John. It hurts.
And I think I said, well, you don't get credit for surviving the zombie apocalypse if you only last 15 minutes. You got to go back and do the whole thing.
So, Trevor, this is a movie that picture a zombie movie where they don't have the budget to actually, or the know-how to stage any fighting zombie sequences. So they build the whole story to cut around that. So you see before the guys fight the zombies, and then you see after the guys fight the zombies. So in that way, they don't actually have to like do any special effects or, you know, combat blocking or anything that would be too challenging for the personnel that they have to make the movie. Now there are things that are good. There's one scene that like it makes my criteria that I keep drilling into on the show to make the movie to make it into the tournament, because there is this scene where I'm like, wow, never seen that before. That's fantastic, you know. But the rest of the movie to me is it's an American independent film of dudes like being dudes, just kind of wandering through the world, figuring out, well, yeah, man, I don't know, who am I going to be in this new zombie world and whatnot. And then every now and then, like, a poorly done zombie shows up for a second. I'm somewhat exaggerating.
It's a mumble gore zombie movie, is what it is.
That's fair.
Almost sounds like a zombie version of Birdemic, if that's an appropriate example. Based off of your description, that's what it sounded like.
Birdemic tries to have the effects, and they're abysmal. This movie at least knows we can't do it, so we're not going to show you.
All right.
But I didn't miss the zombie choreography when I watched it, because I felt, you know, you've got a scene where the two characters are at one point trapped in a car, and one of them leaves to try and get the keys, which are outside the car. And they don't follow him. They just stay on the guy that's inside the car. And I like sweating it out, waiting to see if his friend gets back. And to me, that worked. Like, you didn't need to follow the other guy and show him eluding zombies that are grabbing for him. Like, I've seen that. I know how it goes. The question is he going to come back or not?
I know. If this was a creative choice once or twice, okay. But no, this is how they approach all of those situations. And even after that, yes, Vic, stop it. Stop shaking your head at me. Because after what Luke just said, if that makes sense, like, okay, fine. Then the guy who was left behind, okay, eventually he's like, fuck, I gotta go too. And they do the same thing again. We don't like, okay, we didn't say like, now you get one action sequence at the end of the movie. Nope. They cut to, he's just out of the car somehow. And yeah, there are zombies following him, but we don't see how he actually escaped. There's no actual action. And then roll credits. Spoiler.
Well, John, your respect for this movie is off the charts.
John, I will say this. Again, unlike It Comes at Night, there are actual zombies in it. So it's got that going for it, which is
nice. I don't like this, like, irrational. I'm really, Vic, I'm gonna rake you over the coals with this It Comes at Night hatred. That is a good fucking movie, just as a movie.
It's a great movie. There's just no zombies in it. The Sting is also a great movie. There's no zombies in it.
It's a plague movie, and they act like zombies when they're sick.
There's lots of plague movies. They don't. Oh my god! All right,
Vic. Putting aside your bullshit, like, for the show, like, complaints. Don't you think the rest of the movie scratches your itches about zombie movies? Like, it's literally about survival and distrust and trying to eke out like a post-apocalyptic survival like plan. In every other way, it functions like a zombie movie. But you're just so hung up on the fact that, like, we don't have a horde or something.
Yes, we're talking insofar as there are no zombies trying to eat anyone. Yes, John, that's a big hang up for me in a zombie movie competition.
I'm not looking forward to rewatching It Comes at Night.
Really?
What's the Soderbergh film about the disease? Anybody?
Oh, Contagion. Not Outbreak.
Contagion.
Contagion.
Thank you.
Contagion. Wonderful film. Not even wonderful film. That's too much. Either way, not a zombie film.
I don't know why. Just stop. We're not doubling back to adjudicate that right now.
Okay, good. Anyways, the point is, I like The Battery, and what I'm going to say is, one of the reasons that I really like The Battery, it's not perfect. It does have, again, with the mumble gore. John, I know you and I disagreed quite a bit on The Innkeepers, but I can't remember a movie that just focused on the relationship between two guys. And, like, not brothers, not even really friends, like just kind of two guys who are thrown together into this situation. And that's when we talk about the malleability of the zombie genre. I like the idea of using it to explore just the way these two people interact. Again, doesn't mean I'm not arguing that it should be ranked higher or lower or anything like that, but I didn't dislike it. I wasn't bored. Few too many montages.
I think it's boring as fuck. I mean, like the guy literally brushes his teeth in real time. That is so American fucking indie. I hate that kind of shit.
It didn't bother me. There was a lot of stuff that I liked there. Not just that I liked, but stuff that I hadn't seen before and that made sense to me in terms of understanding male relationships. And that's not something we're going to see many places in this competition. So. We'll put that aside. I do want to say, in general, the Dark Horse category is my favorite. I think that there are a lot of movies in here that I'm going to be rooting for. And when we get into the later rounds of the tournament, it's going to be very hard for me to choose between some of these. Trevor, have you seen Blood Quantum?
I have not. Like I said, I am definitely there's a handful on here that I've seen. I was going to ask a question. Did anybody consider Fido for this category?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it's on my possible nominee list. Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it kind of funny? Like
it's kind of funny. It's been a minute since I've seen it, but I think I'm not quite sure what the Dark Horse category is, in the sense that it's a long shot that this is going to be the one that makes it to the end. Or is it something that's doing something different? Because, I mean, like, most of the things that I've unfortunately suggested are different for the zombie genre. So Maggie, Little Monsters, Warm Bodies, and now Fido are all zombie films, but they're doing something different than a lot of the other ones we've seen here.
No, that definitely fits the criteria. If it's overly comedic, the question would be, why wouldn't we put it over any other category? But I don't remember. I've seen Fido once. I was impressed with it, and it was on my short list of something to double back to. And I'm not opposed to it. That's a good mention. Why don't we hear your thoughts on Dead Girl while we have you, Trevor, since that's one that you're well acquainted with.
Well, I will definitely start off by saying, on this podcast that is hosted by four cishet middle-aged white guys, this movie raises a lot of questions about the male view and entitlement, and a lot about like the incel community along those lines. And it's been a minute since I've seen it, but I remember even then seeing that the dehumanization of females specifically is something that is very there, and the entitlement that comes with these boys who stumble across here's the trailer, right? They stumble across a dead girl and start using her essentially to be vulgar as a fleshlight. And of course things go wrong because it's a zombie film, and specifically the goriest thing that I've seen in that movie that haunts me anytime I have really, really bad food is a guy has a bad stomach situation and literally shits his intestines out. so that haunts me to this day, but I think is asking a lot of questions in this film. And I actually kind of want to circle back and watch it again and see kind of what the answer is to it. I recommend it. It's small. It's not a lot of sets, if I remember correctly. But I did like it, I think, at the end of the day.
This is one that I had the courage of my convictions or the confidence of my memory that I'm like, I'm making sure it's high. I don't have to worry about it right away. Like, let's cast a wide net. Let's figure out some other shit, and then we'll come back to Dead Girl. But I do remember being, like, pretty impressed with it, at least from the standpoint of finding it very disturbing, which personally I like in a horror movie. I want movies, horror movies, to freak me out. Okay. Glad that we got your input on that one. Anyone want to touch on anything we haven't talked about? Let's wrap this up for tonight. But is there a movie that you thought we'd talk about that you want to mention positively or negatively?
Is this, John, the most international field of movies that we've ever had?
Without question.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the Iranian haunted house film. We had a couple of, you know, things from around the world. But definitely the slashers were predominantly American. Fascinating stuff that I can't wait to get into with you. Trevor, any final thoughts before we let you go as far as like, do you want to campaign like to move things up, down, in, out? Like, what are your, you're our sort of fair arbiter here that we brought in to be impartial.
There's a lot of really good things on this list, I gotta say. And now that I've seen the column on the right, a lot of my questions have been answered. So, there's a lot of things that I had hoped to bring up and I was gonna stand my ground on, like Cargo, Dead Girl, of course the Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, all these things. The Resident Evil movie, I will say that's a franchise. Examining that as a franchise, that goes off the rails pretty fast. And the games, mm-hmm. specifically the first three essentially, are focused on what we consider zombies. Whereas when they start going into the fourth game, that becomes like an infection along those lines. And it's not necessarily people are dead. They're infected with Las Plagas along, you know, kind of like that. So I think stick with the first one. You've got the first one. It's got some zombies in it. There's some of the traditional tropes that we're looking for in a zombie film. So, yeah, like I think that's the apex of zombies in Resident Evil. And of course, the movies, like the games, just go in completely different directions from there. So sticking with that is a solid choice.
Yeah, I have a soft spot. I think Vic hated it. I remember we worked together when the movie came out. I don't know why he hated it, but we'll get into that later. I just rewatched it and I get a little bit of a kick out of Resident Evil. So that's why it's in there. But it probably won't last long, but there's definitely some fun things about it. All right, Luke. Yeah. What do you want to send us off with? First off, if there's anything you watched like today that we haven't touched on at all, please express yourself on that movie. I'm sorry that I made you cram.
I was away for almost a month and then I came back and watched, I think I've watched 10 movies since I got off the plane.
That's awesome. Love it.
I saw one that I was very divided on. I kind of hated it, but also respected it. It was called The Night Eats the World.
Oh, yes.
It was a French movie about a guy who wakes up after a party at his girlfriend's house, and everyone's a zombie. You guys saw that, I can tell by your reactions.
Yep.
Were you not
impressed?
It's
not in the tournament. I mean, I'll say that.
Okay. That's not an oversight. That's a decision. I just want to clarify. I think that's fair. I felt like it was a lot of buildup for the payoff, and I liked the payoff, but I was very divided on whether it was worth the buildup.
I have a curiosity piece list, which are movies that like, there's something interesting about them. That definitely belongs on that list. There's things I love about the setup. Like for half an hour of the movie, I'm like, this should probably be in the tournament. And, you know, for whatever reason, by the end, I was like, probably not. So that's where that one fits in.
I think that's fair. I just wanted to make sure. And the other one I saw this afternoon was called Shockwaves.
No, this is just funny because Vic and I had the conversation on the Google Doc about that like months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I completely missed that.
Okay. Well, the gist of it was it was on my I should watch this movie, and Vic pointed out, and Trevor will probably remember this. He's like, yeah, but remember when we watched this at Halloween weekend and nobody like stuck with it at all? It wasn't very good. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, never mind.
The first half hour is just death on a cracker. It just the first half hour is 4 hours long, and then it gets a little better. I like some things about it. I like the 70s atmosphere of it. But
one of the takeaways of this is that you guys don't look at the Google Doc. So good to know.
I look at it. And then my other question was just about demons, which I always thought of as a movie about demons.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're not having this. We're not having this conversation. Nope.
No.
It's not a possession movie. It's a zombie movie. It functions as a zombie movie. There's no exorcist-y, demon-y, like in the traditional Pazuzu kind of a way. It's a fucking zombie movie. This is the tournament for that movie.
So. You sound committed.
Yep.
Luke, I'm not even going to take him on this one.
Okay. I'll I'm sure it'll come up at a later date. I'll rewatch
honestly, I don't want to hear any more after tonight about should this movie be in the tournament or not. Like, no, there it's in the tournament. You can vote for it.
Now it's a dictatorship.
No, I just mean like this we're gonna stop with the technicalities of what genre should this be in. Like that has to stop at some point.
That's you all. Got an Emperor Palpatine. That's fine. Yeah. No, we're all going to look at you.
Oh, come on. All right. Well, I guess that's the note we'll end on. Thanks,
always end on a good, positive note.
Benevolent dictator, John Evans.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us. Of course, Trevor, most of all, thank you so much for jumping in here, like parachuting behind enemy lines without any idea of what you're in for. You've been great, and so thank you so much, and we'd love to have you again in the future.
Great. Thanks. So I'd love to be back.
We'll check in, and I'm sure Luke and Vic will get many more opportunities to tear me apart like the bastards you are. But no, it's been a good time. And I understand that we're going to have our battles here, but I think at the end of the day, our process is going to work and it's going to be really interesting. So thank you guys. And everyone have a good night. Thank you, listeners. Adios.